In college, I was part of a spiritually based fraternity, and we took this gospel as our basis of our life together and our commitment to prayer. And so it's very near and dear to my heart. It's also because it's such a great model of even the Mass. Notice that first they unpack the Scriptures, and Jesus explains them to him, kind of like a little homily along the way. And then they share in the breaking of the bread, like we do at this altar. It's interesting how Jesus pulls alongside of them as they're leaving Jerusalem, and he plays dumb. He says, What kind of things have been happening in Jerusalem? And it's not because he didn't know, but because he wanted them to share their version of the story. Have them encounter Jesus in a subjective way. You see, many of us, especially those of you who are cradle Catholics, which is a majority of you here today, you grow up with Catholicism and experiencing it in a much more objective way. You're told to go to church. You're told to say your prayers. You learn prayers. But one of the most difficult things to teach is a subjective experience of God, an encounter with Jesus Christ. And in visiting with some of you as parents, you say, well, how do I teach that? In a way, you can't. You can dispose your children to it. You can talk about it. You can share your own experience, but they have to do it. And both an objective and a subjective experience of God are necessary for a good faith life. Some people would go to the extent of stressing the subjective to the point that, well, all you have to do is have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Some people would go to the other extreme of the objective and say, well, this is our creed and this is our doctrine, and I know my Hail Mary and my Our Father and my Glory Be, so I'm good to go. But we must have both. And the result is a heart burning within you. There are three experiences that these disciples have along the way on their journey in the gospel today, which can help us move from the objective to a subjective or a more personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Notice how they left Jerusalem. This is Easter Sunday. They're disciples. They're not apostles, so they're associated with the group, but they're not necessarily hunkered down in that upper room. And it says that they were walking along looking downcast, meaning they were kind of in despair, you know? They too were hoping that Jesus would be this great king who would kick out the Romans and restore the Davidic kingship, the glory of Israel, of the chosen people. Now, they could be getting out of town for a couple reasons. Maybe they, you know, had a ball game to get to, or maybe they, you know, were scared that what happened to Jesus might happen to them as followers. Or maybe they just thought, you know, this guy's a kook. He said he was going to be a king. He's dead now. Let's get back to real life, right? But whatever reason, they've kind of given up hope. They've kind of given up on, you know, who Jesus said he was going to be. And so they're walking along in despair, and Jesus pulls up side of them. And again, he plays dumb. I mean, Jesus knew exactly what happened. He was the kind of the center of the story. But he wants them to tell him about their experience. And number one, this experience of letting Jesus walk alongside of you in your despair, when you're downcast, when you've given up hope, is the number one experience that we need to have. I visit with so many people who say, Father, you know, I feel abandoned by God, or I know God loves me, but I'm not feeling His presence, or I must have done something wrong because I don't feel God near me. And I used to think that too, but I've come to discover that God will even allow us to feel that way. Why? So we will invite Him to walk alongside of us, to be with us. And then notice what the disciples do when He does walk alongside of us. They share their story. That's what we must do too. Inviting Jesus to walk with us in our despair or our lack of hope or when we feel down, and then sharing our story with Him, telling Him what's going on in our hearts. And guys, that is the essence of prayer. Sharing your story with Jesus. Secondly, they get to the end of their journey. Notice that Jesus has unpacked things about Scripture. And we call this, when things in the Old Testament refer to things in the New Testament, we call that typology. Typology, as in type. And there's a whole, you can spend your whole life studying that. It's beautiful. Because you can see how God was preparing everything throughout the Old Testament for the coming of Jesus in the New. And He gives the impression that He's going to keep going. But notice what the disciples do. Now, at this point, they don't know He's Jesus, which is kind of interesting. They still haven't clued into it. They've had all the Scripture explained to them. And so, if you can imagine, they don't know He's Jesus, but they kind of respect Him because He's told them all this stuff about Scripture. Like, this guy's really cool. He knows his stuff. So they invite Him into dinner. And notice that they don't recognize Him until they break bread. That's when they recognize Him. Not in the unpacking of Scripture, but in the breaking of the bread. In the shared meal of the Eucharist. You see, guys, unless we invite Jesus into our lives, we won't recognize Him. We won't truly encounter Him. Many of us, especially as cradle Catholics, we're comfortable with coming to church and saying our prayers and doing the Catholic things, but we never invite Him into the depths of our heart in a way that defines us. That my whole life is defined by Jesus Christ. My whole life is defined by my faith. I wear Catholic across my chest with great pride because I know that means saved by Jesus Christ. Changed, renewed, reborn, new life. Invite Him in. Thirdly, what's really curious is their response. Notice they've walked 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. If you can imagine going down to West Street and Kellogg here and walking out to Goddard, that's roughly the same distance. And this guy came alongside them as they were getting on the ramp. Never walk alongside the highway. That's very dangerous. But He comes alongside them and He's talking to them the whole way. And then they share this meal out in Goddard. And then what do these disciples want to do? They want to come running back to Wichita to tell people about it. I don't know about you, I'd send a letter, you know, or send an email or tweet it or put it on Facebook. But I'm not walking all the way back to Wichita. That's too far. But the encounter that they had with Jesus set them on fire so much that they wanted to tell people about it. And that's exactly what God wants for each of you. Too many of us are too scared to share our faith. Too closed about it. And it can be subtle ways. I mean, what radio station is on at work? You know? What song do you sing when you sing a song? Little ways of witnessing to the joy of the gospel in your life. The question for you today is, how will you respond to the unpacking of Scripture and the breaking of the bread at this Mass? Will it be just an objective response where Father says, "The Lord be with you," and you all say, "And with your spirit," and we go home happy? Or will it be a true internalization of the faith, a letting Jesus Christ the King reign over absolutely everything in your life? Will you, in despair, when you've lost hope, share your story with Jesus? Will you invite Him in to stay with you, to break bread? Will you go running out with His message? Because only then, when you really let Him in and you begin to share what God has done for you, will your hearts burn within you. And we pray with all the people around you.